This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Dustin Sweetelson, broadcasting from the Circa Sportsbook downtown Las Vegas, hanging out with you all night long on SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, and the VSiN Watch app. It is a massive weekend of football. We've got a lot of great games. It gets started Friday with the College Football Conference title games, on to Saturday with the big boys, and then a full slate of Week 14 in the NFL, where it feels like we're finally at the point where we kind of know who is and who isn't good and what's on the line for each game every single week. So the drama is only building in the NFL. To help us figure out what to look at betting-wise and tell us where the money's going, most importantly behind the counter, our buddy Arthur DeCesar, Westgate Superbook Risk Manager, is with us now, progressive guest line at ArtDice21 on X. Arthur, talk to me, buddy. College Football Conference Championship Week. You are behind the counter for a lot of these big events. March Madness is obviously number one. Super Bowl is number two. Do you guys, with less games in college football, see a big handle this week?
You know, Dustin, it's an interesting question. I think once you get to these playoff games, and especially the marquee championship games, your SEC, your Big Ten, you see really nice handle on these games. You see NFL playoff handle on these games. So, yeah, it's sad that the regular season and the full slate of Saturday games are done, but once we get these huge, huge important games, they're really good for us from a handle standpoint, so we can't complain.
I love it. Let's begin on Friday with the Mountain West title game. And, you know, UNLV, that is a team that this city likes to either rally behind or trash. There's no middle ground when it comes to the Rebs. And this is a tricky spot for them. Going to Boise. Boise's getting their quarterback back. There may be weather in the mix as well, which UNLV usually struggles with. But I don't know why. I'm looking at that 4.5, 5, and I want to take UNLV, which is why I'm going to stay away from this game. I imagine you guys are seeing a lot of money laying it with Boise State.
Plenty of money with Boise. And listen, Boise has owned UNLV. And UNLV, you got to remember, they played earlier in the season. This line was north of 10. I think close, like 11, 11 and a half. So UNLV has closed the gap. Obviously, Boise had the injury with the quarterback. Looks like he'll play. And we were 3.5, now 5.5. So we're going to really need UNLV in the game, because also, too, when you're in that 5, 5.5 range, a lot of money line parlay stuff will be incorporated with that Boise line.
All right, I need your help here, because I told everyone a couple segments ago, looking at Georgia and Alabama in the SEC championship, you could convince me of any outcome. Georgia blowout win, Alabama blowout win. High scoring game, low scoring game. Overtime, blowout. You could tell me any scenario, I would believe it. Right now, Georgia's laying 2.5. The total's 48.5. How are they betting this game?
This is a game that's really seen really good two-way action. You know, I saw some places open the game pick, even one. We were on the higher end of Georgia. We opened 1.5 and then quickly got to 2.5. And have been there pretty much since Monday afternoon, I would say. This will see really good two-way action. It's the 1 o'clock Vegas time game on Saturday. This will see awesome handle. It will be two-way. I think they're going to bet the under. And I think most people don't tease college, but I think you're going to see some teaser stuff with Alabama getting them over a touchdown.
You know, I love that you said that, because you're not supposed to tease college with the variance. No. But I will say this. When I first got into betting, I had like 3 or 4 conference championship weekends in a row where I just teased like all of the games together and made a ton of money, basically creating my own little parlay situation with all the plus money. But I think with the conference title games, because they're expected to be closer, it's not crazy to tease some of them. I may add one or two before the weekend is here. Arthur DeCesar's with us, Westgate Superbook Risk Manager at ArtDice21 on X. I'm very curious about Indiana and Ohio State at 4 right now, because obviously, some money's come in on Indiana, which opened a 5.5-point dog down to 4, total 47.5. But at 4, are they still betting Indiana? Are we starting to see some buyback on the Buckeyes?
Well, this is the way I look at it. We saw, and we were as high as 6, Dustin, on the game. So we saw sharp money on 6 and on 5 with Indiana. Are we at the bottom out number on Ohio State now? When does the buyback come? Now, what does the game really mean? They can hang a Big Ten banner. They can have the one seed. Both teams should get byes. Maybe it's the best quarterback play wins the Heisman. So it's interesting what's really at stake here, but all of our sharp accounts have taken Indiana in the game. So right now, as you and I speak here on a Thursday evening, we're going to need Ohio State in the game.
Okay. That makes me feel a little bit better about my bet on the Hoosiers. What about Duke and Virginia? I'm actually seeing some places up to 4 on Duke. Where are you guys on this one? Because I took Duke +3, but it looks like it's been Virginia money everywhere. Total of 57.5. Are they just laying it with the Cavaliers winning the ACC?
They have been, and they did it early at 2.5 and 3.5. We got to 4 in the game. The 2.5 money was sharp money. Once we got over 3, it's just people kind of getting, you know, they're late to the party, they're piling on. But let me say this about this game. Our worst case scenario in any of these championship games in our future book is Duke to win the ACC. We're going to be enormous. And I mean enormous Virginia fans on Saturday. This to us is the number one game of the day.
Wow, that is massive. Yeah. Duke was a trendy, sharp team in the offseason to win the ACC. I do remember seeing a lot of sharp people all over them. All right, let's go to the NFL. Really, really curious how they're betting this one because the number hasn't budged with Chicago and Green Bay at Lambeau Field. It's still the Packers laying 6.5. The total's 44.5. Packers off the win on Thanksgiving on the road at Ford Field. Chicago just keeps reeling off these wins, but a lot of sharp people don't respect them. Are you still seeing that this week?
That's the way you got to look at this game. The sharps have yet to fall in love or, I don't know, get tricked by the Bears. The public's starting to believe in the Bears a little bit, though. So I think you'll see some public money on Chicago. But, you know, when you fall in the 6, 6.5 range, Green Bay is going to be all over the money line parlays, all over the teasers. So we'll need the Bears in the game.
Okay. Interesting. Cincinnati and Buffalo. I want to see if this one gets up to 6. I don't know if it's going to get there. Right now, it is 5.5 across the board everywhere. Total 53.5 everywhere. Are they betting Buffalo or are they betting Cincinnati?
So early in the week, they were betting Buffalo. Sharp accounts for laying 5 and 5.5. Well, we got to 6, and we were, you know, a handful of 6s out there, and we were one of them. We saw the sharp accounts come back on Cincinnati. So you got sharp groups on both sides. But the real sharp angle in this game is the over. 51.5 for us on an opener. Now 53.5. 2-point move to the over with the sharps. Maybe even goes a little bit higher, which is crazy too because you might get some weather here in Buffalo early in December.
Okay, Sunday night football, Houston and Kansas City. And for Houston, they can lose this game and still be alive in the AFC South. For the Chiefs at this point at 500, they lose this game. I don't know how they get back into the playoff picture. It looks like this one opened 5.5. We are down to 3 at some places. Looks like you guys are at 3.5. Total is at 42. Are you just taking nothing but Texans money?
A little bit of Texans money. For us, to be honest with you, really moves with the market on this. You're right, though. We're Kansas City -3.5, even money. That total of 42 is interesting. That Houston defense is so good. Does the total get bit down a little bit? And it being the Sunday night game, I still believe we'll have chief money line stuff with parlays that all get tied into that late game. I still think we'll need Houston in the game when it's all said and done.
Okay, and then what about this last one? AFC South, Indy and Jacksonville. This is one of those where I'm so confident about the Jaguars that I'm kind of scared, Arthur. Like, you know how that gets sometimes? You're like, it seems so obvious. How is Jacksonville a home dog to Indy with the way Indy's looked and the limited mobility for Daniel Jones? Numbers up to Colts laying 2, totals 46.5. What are you seeing here?
And Jacksonville can get after the passer. I mean, you know, they can get after the quarterback. So I'm with you. It's a really good two-way. Jacksonville, to me, is one of the best teaser legs of the whole weekend in a division game. You get them up over 7, get them to 7.5, get them to 8. Total of 47.5. I think eventually they'll come bet that over because the public always bet Colts games over. But right now on the side, really good two-way.
All right, and then the last one I want to ask you about, the Heisman market. Just because we've seen some fluctuating mostly in the offshore markets, with Diego Pavia becoming a favorite. I just want to pull up what I'm looking at here. Mendoza still the favorite at a couple places at plus 160. Pavia plus 180. Sagan is 2-1. What's best case, worst case? What type of action have you seen in the Heisman market?
You know, for us, we look at it like this. We would like to avoid the Vanderbilt quarterback. I think no matter what happens in the Big Ten Championship game, I think if one of the quarterbacks plays really well, obviously, you know, Pavia can't do anything. He can't play and improve his game. So, you know, unless the Big Ten Championship game is going to be 3-0, I think one of the quarterbacks, especially Mendoza, if he could put up points and win that game against that great, great Ohio State defense, it feels like he's going to win the Heisman.
Yeah. There is a world where both defenses don't give either quarterback a chance to do anything, and then by default, Pavia steals this thing. That could be a nightmare scenario.
Yeah, no doubt. But I look at it like this too, right? It's in Lucas Oil. It's indoors. I think the offenses might get something going. So we're going to root for that. We're going to root for something where one of these quarterbacks in the Big Ten Championship game can just go win the game and win the Heisman.
Look, I root for you, Arthur. I don't always root for what you guys want behind the book, but I feel better when I'm on the right side with you guys behind the counter. He is Arthur DeCesar. Go check him out over at the Westgate Superbook. Say hi. Say you heard him here on the show. And follow him on X, at ArtDice21. Thank you, my friend. Good luck with everything this weekend.
Dustin, you're the best. We'll talk soon.
That was Arthur DeCesar from the Westgate with tremendous insight on everything going on in football right now. Hey, reaching people is easy. Reaching the right people is the best. Mission Media helps your brand do exactly that. Cross-platform strategies to hit fans, whether they're watching or listening, podcasts, connected TV, streaming, digital, all of it. You'll want to find out how to get in touch with the right people? Visit VSiN.com/advertise or email us at advertising@VSiN.com.
Here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at it on Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. You're locked into VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It has been an awesome show tonight. If you missed any part of it, go back and download it wherever you get your podcast. Our number one, Ryan Harris, does the Notre Dame games, made an interesting statement about who wins the national championship this year, and it was not the Irish. Also, we chatted with Big Al McMorty, professional handicapper, doing it for a long time. Tremendous analysis and picks in college football and the NFL. Also, just now, a bunch of great conversations with Arthur DeCesar as well. And then Colby Dance coming your way in 15 minutes in all the conference title games in college football. But earlier when we first hit the air, we were broadcasting while the end of Thursday Night Football was playing out. In case you missed it, the Detroit Lions picked up a huge win against the Dallas Cowboys, 44-30. They cover the 3.5. We go way over that total. And the Lions now are 8-5 on the season. They are still in the playoff picture, while Dallas's chances dropped to 6% with a loss tonight, moving back to 500 at 6-6-1. And for Dan Campbell, he heard a lot of criticism. There was a lot of people doubting him. And it's not exactly that he's out of the woods yet, but here's what I'd say. I would say that Dan Campbell is the best at bouncing back. I believe it's the 15th time that they have won off of a loss under Dan Campbell. I believe that was the number I saw floating around. He doesn't lose two games in a row. He learns from his mistakes. And for the Detroit Lions, they have a lot of flaws. Their secondary is banged up. Their offensive line is inexperienced. But there's no excuses this time of year. People want results, and the Lions got results, and you could feel it in the locker room after the game.
Tells us who we are. Nobody, man. We write our own story. We've said it all along. That's the way to show up, man. Way to show up. We do what we want to do and how we're going to do it. You guys showed up. Was it perfect? No. Do we have a lot to clean up? Yeah, that's a good win, man. That was a hot team, right? And that's one down. We got another one to go after this. But we get a little breather here. Yeah. We get just a little bit of breather, all right? Which is all good.
You know what? That's my guy. That is Dan freaking Campbell. That is a leader of men. That is a guy who knows how to rally around something. And people doubting him is exactly where they wanted him. During this game, they were 19-1 to win the Super Bowl. How has that adjusted since this win? I don't believe it's moved very much. And look, they've got a lot of warts, but so does everyone else. The Lions are still 19-1. People don't believe they're serious. And I think they are. I still believe in Dan Campbell. That is my guy. You know, he reminds me of Winston Churchill. I know what you're thinking. What? Hold on. Winston Churchill, the Boer War, disgraced, pushed out of Parliament, never to be thought of again. And then you know when he popped back up? A little thing called WW2. And you know what Winston Churchill did? He saved the world. Dan Campbell, everyone doubting him the last couple weeks, Thanksgiving was his Boer War. That was when he felt most disgraced and he heard all you doubters. You know what he did? He came out. He put the beat down on the Dallas Cowboys. You all kept hyping up Dallas. Oh, you know what? The defense has improved. Dak is playing the best football this side of Matthew Stafford and Drake May. Didn't matter. Didn't get the job done. Dan Campbell with a Winston Churchill-like bounce back to pick up the win, keep his team firmly in the playoff race as far as the NFC North is concerned. Packers are your favorite at minus 140. The Bears are plus 175. The Lions are 6.5-1. I don't love that bet for them. They have to climb over too many teams. They've lost two to Green Bay. I don't see them winding up and winning that division. But making the playoffs, I think we're getting a playoffs with the Detroit Lions. That's what I would say. And right now, you can bet the Detroit Lions to make the playoffs over at DraftKings at yes, minus 150. And if you get in the dance, anyone has a chance. Ooh, I didn't mean for that to rhyme. Just kind of happened naturally. I'm going to acknowledge it briefly, give myself a little bit of credit. We're going to move on here because if I get caught up in my own scent, I won't be like Dan Campbell looking on to the next team for the Detroit Lions. And speaking of, the schedule for the Lions coming up with them now 8-5 on the season with a chance to finish the job, they go to the Rams. And that will be quite a litmus test. Matthew Stafford versus former team and the Detroit Lions coming to town in the good weather. Jared Goff going back against his former coach in the stadium that he helped build at SoFi. And then after that for the Lions, they have Pittsburgh, they go to Minnesota, and they go to Chicago. A lot could be on the line against Chicago for both teams, but I think we're looking at the Detroit Lions with 8 wins on the year. I don't know if they win at LA. They definitely win versus Pittsburgh. That's number 9. They're going to beat Minnesota. That's number 10. And I think they'll beat Chicago to finish the year at number 11. We're looking at an 11-win Bears team in my eyes. Their adjusted win total posted up at DraftKings right now for the Lions. They are currently set at 10.5. I'd take that over. I would look at that over right now. I'm not going to bet it, but if I'm betting anything, I'm going over at minus 105 with the Detroit Lions. The props that got home in this game, in case you missed it, Jahmyr Gibbs scored not one, not two, but 3 touchdowns. And he also scored the first touchdown and the last touchdown in this game. He was minus 255 anytime. He was 4-1 for first. He was plus 195 for 2+. And he was 7.5-1 for 3 touchdowns. I don't know who it was recently. I bet someone to have 3 touchdowns recently. It did the latter. Of course, it didn't hit. They didn't score a single touchdown. Thought about it for Gibbs today. Didn't bet it. That's why it got home. If I think about a bet but don't bet it, 100% of the time, it's going to hit. You got me? Dak and Goff went over on their completions, attempts, and yardage. In terms of interceptions, Dak threw one at minus 174. He also cleared his longest of 36.5. Javonte Williams went over on his rushing attempts and his yards, 15.5 and 66.5. Montgomery over on his yardage. Gibbs didn't go over on his rushing. He did go over on his receiving at 5.5 and 40.5. He went 7 for 77 through the air. And we bet him a couple weeks ago, 100-1 for Offensive Player of the Year. It's down to 10-1. He is the third shot on the betting board. If he keeps finding the end zone, even if the rushing numbers aren't there, Jahmyr Gibbs has a chance to be in that conversation with Jonathan Taylor and JSN by year's end. He just needs to keep this pace up. And I will admit, it is a pretty preposterous pace right now for Gibbs. CeeDee Lamb left the game dealing with a concussion. He did get over his number of 84.5 with a .121 in this game. Jameson Williams easily cleared his number, 5.5 and 81.5 for him. Amon-Ra St. Brown, that was actually the big story coming into the game. We all anticipated he wasn't going to play. Thought all the other props on all these guys, Ross Dwelly, Tom Kennedy, were live. No, they weren't. They weren't. Amon-Ra ended up playing. He had 7 catches for 92 yards in this game. Jake Ferguson also went over on his numbers, 4.5 and 37.5. Montgomery over his receiving yards of 12.5. Flournoy way over his numbers. Over 1.5 receptions, over 12.5 because he had 115, scored a touchdown at 7-1. So that's where we stand with Thursday Night Football. Let's start looking ahead to some of the other games coming up this week and stay in division with the Chicago Bears and Dan Campbell's former pupil in Ben Johnson. You know, the Bears have been on quite a heater. They're reeling off wins. Yet, as we just talked to Arthur DeCesar at the Westgate, the Sharp community isn't respecting them. They still don't believe it's for real. They beat Cincinnati on the road without Joe Burrow. They beat the Giants, who have had their own issues, that they blew that game in the fourth quarter. They went to Minnesota, which doesn't look that impressive, taking care of J.J. McCarthy. Then it was Pittsburgh, and all of that offense and defensive issues that Mike Tomlin's dealing with him on the hot seat, Chicago's not getting credit for that win either. It was also by a field goal. And then last week, Black Friday at Philadelphia, and Philadelphia offensively has not been impressive this year. Yet at the same time, it's the NFL. It is very hard to win football games, let alone reeling off 5 in a row after winning 4 of your 5 previously, starting the season 0-2. So you got to give a lot of credit to Ben Johnson. He met with the media earlier this week and said, look, the passing game is still coming together.
We got to fundamentally be correct. The primary receiver, when he's open, we want to make sure we hit him. And then all of our pass catchers, we just harped on it today. We need to be more disciplined in our route detail. It's not where it needs to be. Our depth's not proper all the time. Our steps isn't. And so everybody's got a role to play to get this pass game cleaned up. It's not where it needs to be. We're winning in spite of our passing game, not because of it. And none of us are pleased with that right now.
Yeah, we'll see what Caleb Williams looks like this week because he's going to see pressure like he has not seen at least the last few weeks of his sophomore season going to Lambeau Field, where to me the edge is all Green Bay. I like a lot of dogs this week. The favorite I like the most is Green Bay laying the 6.5. Give me less than a touchdown. Total's 44. I think the under is live as well, but to me, Green Bay makes a statement. And in the NFL, a lot of times you have to kind of fade these teams when they're just playing out of their mind with things going their way in one-score games. At some point, it comes back the other way. Matt LaFleur in division, 23-16 against the spread, against the rest of the North. I think they pressure Caleb Williams. And whether he makes mistakes or not, I don't know if that's his style of play, but I do think he's not going to be able to get a lot of the throws off. He's used to getting off in a clean pocket, and that's going to make things very difficult for the Chicago offense on the road at Lambeau Field. Give me Green Bay laying that 6.5. Hey, ready to boost your bankroll? Well, Bracco's giving new depositors a 50% purchase bonus. Just use promo code VEASAN when you sign up. Bracco's lines are live on the VEASAN betting splits page. See where the action is moving before you bet. Turn your bonus into an edge with insight that matters. Go to playbracco.com today and use the promo code VEASAN. Should we be concerned that everyone loves Indiana this week? We'll discuss it next on Cashing Out.
Here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Oh, baby, it's getting real. College football conference championship games. This is why you eat all those wings and drink all those beers to be ready for these big moments to bet on the best of the best in every league. And the best of the best when it comes to breaking down college football is our next guest, Colby Dant, Sports Gambling Podcast. The College Experience is the show at the Colby D on X. And he joins us now to preview all of these games. And I just looked at his card. I'm concerned for you, my friend, because we are on the same side of a lot of these. Let's start with Indiana. I got to tell you, I love Indiana. My mom loves Indiana. My third grade teacher, Mrs. Dennison, bet on Indiana. You're on Indiana as well. Should we be concerned? Because I'm not buying Ohio State is that much greater than everyone else. I think the Hoosiers could win this outright, and I think you agree.
I do. Well, there's two things here. There's two games that are incredibly hard, I think, to get a read on. This one and the Tulane North Texas game, mainly because of what's going on behind the scenes. This game is useless, but don't tell that to Indiana, who hasn't won a solo Big Ten championship since, what, 1946, I think it is. So I think they're playing for that. There's also, you know, obviously it's in Indianapolis, so you're thinking you're going to get the Hoosier crowds. Last year, no one went to this game, or you get a ticket for like $6. So, I mean, you had some fans, but it was very cheap. I don't think that's going to be the problem. Also, the Hoosiers playing basketball in Indianapolis as well earlier in the day. So it's going to be a weekend for the Hoosier faithful. That's kind of the handicap. And also just to me, they're coming off Michigan. And I don't see the real motivation besides you're trying to win a Big Ten championship. Sure. But I'd rather just get healthy. I'm actually curious how they handle this, because you look at a guy like Elijah Surratt, who's had injury problems all year. If you're Cignetti, do you even play him?
Oh,
you know, like,
interesting.
But and I think that you, for a few guys, you could say that, but I'm going to take the Hoosiers at home. I think it means more to them to win the Big Ten championship. Ohio State wins it almost every other year. So that's really the handicap for me. But this is one of the tougher spots because both are going to have a bye regardless.
Yeah, that's a good point. No, I do think it means more for Cignetti and building his brand and putting his mark on the Big Ten. You win a Big Ten title at Indiana. I looked it up. 1967, they split it three ways. That's the last time they won a football title. That's a long time ago. So, yeah, I still like Indiana. And I hate being on the trendy dog. I'm on the trendy dog, and I'm riding with you. This next game, I have zero read on, so I need your help. I've told everyone, I could see Georgia-Alabama in the SEC title game. I could see Georgia winning big or close. I could see Alabama winning big or close. I could see it being a track meet. I could see it being low scoring. I have absolutely no feel. Dogs are laying 2.5. Total's 48.5. What are you looking at here?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think me and you talked about this over the summer where I had Alabama as my preseason favorite to win the national championship, and they've gotten to the playoffs, but I have not been super impressed, to tell you the truth. Like, I think their run defense is not elite by any means. If anything, I think they kind of cooked the books recently. Their numbers were in the 50s before they played the FCS, Eastern Illinois, who has two wins in the FCS. So I worry about the run defense. Auburn just outgained them pretty severely. And then I worry about their run game, and Jam Miller got injured in the Auburn game. So I have a lot of concern for the Crimson Tide. And I think the fact they beat Georgia earlier, now DeBoer has been fire against anything top 25, I feel like. But I'm taking a shot on Kirby Smart. I think this Georgia team is much better than when they faced Bama the first time. I think they figured some things out. So I'm on the dogs there, even though I know historically in this matchup, he's wins have been very few.
Yeah, mostly against Nick Saban, though, if we're going to be fair. Yeah. Most of those numbers against Bama with Saban. Colby Dance with us, Sports Gambling Podcast Network, The College Experience, at the Colby D on X. Talk to me about the Big 12 title game. Texas Tech laying 12.5, totals 49.5. They dominated that the last meeting. However, you think this one at a neutral, BYU might be able to hang within that number?
I do, and I actually think the money line is live here. Just because Texas Tech, you go back and watch that game, they did dominate. You're right. But I would say it was more about on the defensive side of the ball. Texas Tech just limited BYU throughout the whole game with that crowd behind them at Jones AT&T Stadium there. But you look at what Jay Hill, BYU's defensive coordinator, who's a very good coach. He was very good at the FCS as a head coach at Weber State. I think he's one of the best D coordinators in football. He limited the Texas Tech offense. I mean, Texas Tech only outgained them by like 130 yards, I think. And in the red zone, they really struggled. So I kind of like the fact you got Jay Hill at a second go around against this defense away from that stadium on campus. And then if Bachmeier can just take better care of the ball, which is a big if, but I think he will take better care of the ball. So I think they stay in this game. Once again, this is kind of a similar spot as well. Like Texas Tech, sure, if you lose this game, you are out of the bye week, but at the same time, you're still going to be in the playoffs. Whereas BYU, you got to play your way in. I find it a little ridiculous because they're 11-1, but it is what it is. So I kind of think the pressure's on BYU. They just brought Satake back, gave him a bunch of money. Not only that, it's been speculated and reported that part of the deal to retain him is pay the players $10 to $15 million over the rev share. So if you're a player, you're thinking this is a great time to be a Cougar. So I'm all in on the vibes here. Give me the 11.5. I think they can stay in this game. If Texas Tech, I just wonder if Texas Tech is in the close game or, you know, if they're up big, do they try to rest some guys late in the game considering that, you know, their backup quarterback's already out for the year. He's the guy, you know, so I think it's an interesting thing there. But I like the Cougs and the points at least.
And Baron Morton is always hurt. They can't afford for him to get injured in a game if they're up a couple scores. Get him out of the game. By the way, if BYU were to win this one, though, and then Duke somehow won, could you imagine the committee and what they have to handle? And speaking of Duke, I've been so obnoxious. I love the Blue Devils. I just think it's hard to beat the same team twice in a very short amount of time. In Virginia, they ain't played nobody, Paul. You're on Duke. You're taking the four. You're going a little money line. I can't believe it's up to four. Total's 57.5. Why are we going to be celebrating for Manny Diaz?
Yeah, and look, I'm going to be at this game covering this game. And the big thing for me here is, they did play recently twice. And Virginia really put it on them at Wallace Wade Stadium. What, I think 34-17 was the final there. I even think Duke dressed it up a little bit, but that's a lot to do. And the fact that everyone's kind of making a joke out of Duke, I'll go back to when I was at ACC Media Days this year. I talked to an NFL scout that actually told me, just talking just randomly as we're grabbing lunch, he said he thinks there's four or five guys on Duke's team that are going to be in the NFL. I think Wesley Williams, the DN, and then the safety Terry Moore and the corner Chandler Rivers. And then he thought Mensa, the quarterback, if he continues to go in the right direction, will end up being a high NFL draft pick. So the talent is there. They just haven't been able to put, they've been dinged up. Terry Moore was out for a while. I think Duke can stay in this game. And to me, they're playing with house money. You're in Charlotte. You're going to have a Duke crowd. Give me Duke to win this thing outright. Virginia's been living on the edge all year. They should have lost to Washington State at home. If it wasn't for a fair catch at the 1 yard line on a kickoff by Washington State, I feel like Wazoo would have got them. Give me Duke, and let's put the pressure on this committee.
All right, let's go now to the Friday games. UNLV on the road at Boise. Broncos laying 4.5. Total is 59.5. My initial lean was UNLV, but then you get the reports of weather. You look at the history there. Broncos seem to be the side that everyone likes. The sharp people like, I should say. You're going to lay the 4.5 in this spot?
Yeah, I mean, look, UNLV's never won in Boise. They've been playing for like 40 years. They've never won in Boise. And now you add the fact they've been a dome team and stuff. Like, go back to the first matchup in October. Boise had 600, just I think 10 yards shy of 600 yards of offense. That's 300 on the ground. I can't take that. And then you add in the elements, like you said, cold weather, snow, and Boise's, say what you want. They're not as good as this year, you know, as previous years, but they're getting Maddox Madsen back at the quarterback spot. That's a big deal. If they would have had him at San Diego, I think they probably would have beat San Diego State. And they never lose on this turf. I mean, very rarely. I think they have the best record in college football at home over the past 30 years. So I'll take my chances on that.
All right, how about Conference USA? Kennesaw State laying 2.5 at Jack State. Total 60.5. Jerry Mack is getting a lot of interviews in the American. You think he goes out with a bang with the Owls?
Yeah, I mean, look, they played, this is similar handicap to the Duke-Virginia game. They played recently in the past 3 weeks, and believe it or not, Kennesaw State was a 3.5-point favorite that game, and they lost by 9. They threw about 4 or 5 picks, but to have them still the favorite on the road at Jacksonville State, this is not a neutral. I think Vegas is telling you something right there, but I think Kennesaw State will limit those turnovers. They were going back and forth between quarterbacks last time they played. I think they learn from those mistakes and get the win outright. I think they've been the better team all year, and Charles Kelly and Jack State just got him at the right spot.
He is Colby Dant. Check him out. The College Experience, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast on X at the Colby D. Good luck, my friend. Well, good luck to both of us, because we're on the same side of a lot of these bets. So I feel a lot better now that you've co-signed them. Have a great weekend, and hopefully all the bets hit.
Thank you so much, brother. And have a good one, man.
He is Colby Dant. Love chatting with him every single week. We got a jam-packed, jelly-tight segment coming up in the next one. Our VSiN Morning Bets, college football, the NFL, the NBA, and more. That's on the other side of Cashing Out.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at it on Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. You're tuned in to VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It has been a wild ride on a Thursday night. Thursday night football with the Lions with the big win over the Dallas Cowboys. Final score 44-30. Lions cover the 3.5. We go way over that total. 74 points scored in that game. Some great conversations. Ryan Harris all over the NFL and Notre Dame. He had a great comment about who's going to win the national championship. It was not the Irish. In order to hear it, go back and download the show wherever you get your podcast or check it out on demand on the VSiN Watch app. Big Al McMorty had incredible information when he broke down a couple of college plays, a couple NFL plays. That was in hour number two. Arthur DeCesar behind the counter earlier this hour at the Westgate with where the money's going in conference title games, plus full previews of all those games with Colby Dant in our previous segment. It's time now for us to analyze everything that's about to go down, because it's time for the VSiN Morning Bets segment. We'll begin college football on Friday night. We've got James Madison in the Sun Belt title game laying 23.5 against Troy. Your total is 46.5. Look, Bob Chesney, this is the end of the road with the Dukes. He's going to take the UCLA job. They're the only 8-0 team in the Sun Belt. They won their conference games by an average of more than 27 points per game, outscored opponents 340-121. Troy won, on the other hand, went 6-2 league play and had a plus 25 point differential. The Dukes were 24th in the nation in yards per play. They are 6th in the nation in yards per play allowed. They have a stud quarterback in Alonzo Barnett, who is not scared of the moment. He has taken down monsters before. I don't think he's going to be intimidated with Troy coming to town and the Sun Belt title on the line. I just think these two teams, who did not play during the regular season but had a common opponent in Old Dominion, Old Dominion beat Troy 33-0. JMU beat ODU 63-27. I think JMU, I don't know if they cover the 23.5, which is why I'm going to go team total. Over 34.5, look in the past. Big moments for JMU under Bob Chesney, under Kurt Cignetti. They like to put it on their opponents. I think they do it here. I also think Alonzo Barnett, the quarterback, his over 1.5 touchdowns, I may be adding that, as well as his passing yardage. I think because they're trying to get in the playoff, and there's a chance style points could play a role, or at least in their mind, you don't want to leave anything on the table. I think they put it on Troy, and they keep scoring and running it up, and Barnett goes absolutely crazy in this game. Conference USA, Kennesaw State's laying 2.5. At Jacksonville State, your total 60 and a hook. It's kind of a surprise both teams are here. They both made quarterback changes mid-year. Both have first-year head coaches. Jerry Mack is getting a lot of looks with his turnaround of Kennesaw State from the American schools who have openings. Charlie Kelly took over for Rich Rod with Jacksonville State. And I'm just looking at Kennesaw State quarterback, Wofford transfer Amari Odom. He took over for Dexter Williams, who at one time was at Indiana. Odom's pretty good, man. 65% completion rate, 17 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Should add, though, 3 of his 6 picks were against this Jacksonville State team this year. But they're the best passing team, Kennesaw State, in Conference USA. Jacksonville State has a freshman in Caden Creel who's 6-1 straight up since becoming the starter. Good mobile guy, and they have a running back in Cam Cook who has 15 touchdowns and almost 1,600 yards on the ground. Gamecocks forced 21 takeaways this year. That was tied for the 13th in turnover margin this year, 15th total in takeaways. Last meeting, Jacksonville State won 35-26. Cook ran for 132. Creel had 127 yards and 2 touchdowns. I think this is a game where we get a lot of points. I lean over 60.5. North Texas is laying 2.5 in the American title game at Tulane. Total 66.5. Winner gets into the college football playoff. Winning coach gets to stay with their team at least one more game. John Summerall, at the end of the season, goes to Florida. And for Morris, he's going to go to Oklahoma State. North Texas hasn't won a bowl game since 2013. This year, they're second in the nation behind Vanderbilt in yards per play because they have a stud quarterback in Drew Messemaker who didn't even start in high school. 3,800 pass yards, 29 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Caleb Hawkins has run for 1,200 yards this year. But the key for the Mean Green is the defense has improved. They are 47th in yards per play allowed. For Tulane, they like to run the football. Jake Retzlaff is a mobile quarterback, 561 yards on 103 carries. He's thrown for 2,700 yards. I just don't know if they have the dynamic players to keep up with North Texas. They're not as balanced as North Texas. And North Texas is efficient in the red zone, scoring on 80% of their trips. Tulane, just 56% on theirs. Rain is in the forecast. I lean North Texas laying the 2.5 there. Mountain West title game, UNLV at Boise State. Everything says Broncos. For some reason, my vibes tell me UNLV. I'm not betting this game. Total 57.5. Numbers up to 5 here at Circa. I think the defense has improved for UNLV. Offense, they can move the football on anyone. Maddox Mattson returning for Boise State has me concerned. I'm going to end up staying away from this game. A lot of sharp people are on Boise. The number keeps getting bigger. I kind of like UNLV, but I wouldn't encourage anyone to follow me there. It's literally just a gut reaction. All the information says Boise's the play. All right, BYU and Texas Tech coming up on Saturday, where right now that number is 12.5. Red Raiders laying it. 49.5 is your total. I'm on the under. I bet under 50.5 on, I believe, Sunday night. You look at the meetings. Last two, the under is 2-0. Satake is 28-21 to the under. 4-1 to the under on a neutral field. McGuire is 24-11 against the spread versus the rest of the Big 12. But you have to wonder what they're playing for, if they're willing to cover this number when this is a team that feels like it can win the national championship. Because of that, I just think the defense dominates. We go under 49.5 right now, even though I bet 50.5 earlier in the week. I don't have a good feel for Georgia-Alabama. I would lean over right now, but that's mostly just because Tyler Shoemaker shared the trend at VSiN.com. SEC championship game has hit the over the last 5 years, averaging 66.5 points in regulation, and he projects there to be 52 points in this game. You can convince me anything happens in the SEC title game. Blowout for either side, close scoring game for either side, high scoring, low scoring. I lean slightly to the over. I do love Duke, though. And it's up to 4. I bet +3. It was 3.5 for a couple days. I think Duke is live to win outright against Virginia. Virginia is not that good, guys. They've played nobody. They had an overtime win against Florida State that looks horrible now. And last meeting, they dominated Duke. Virginia won 34-17. Cavaliers led 31-3 in Durham after three quarters. Jamari Taylor ran for a buck 33. Harrison Wiley had 62 on the ground. Trell Harris had 161 receiving yards. Chandler Morris was picking them apart for 316 through the air and 2 touchdowns. Duke only had 258 yards of offense to Virginia's 540. But that was a few weeks ago. It is hard to beat the same team twice in a very short amount of time. And Manny Diaz, based on a clip we played earlier on cashing out, he believes they're going to the playoff if they win the ACC. With that motivation and everyone doubting them being a team that should even be involved in the conference title game, that is a rallying cry that I want to bet on. Manny Diaz, 6-0 against the spread as a dog of 3.5-10. He is 5-2 against the spread when revenging a loss to an opponent. Tony Elliott is just 9-9 covering the number as a favorite in that role. So that is where we stand with all of the college football. Did I miss anything real quick? Because my page just refreshed. I believe I hit every game. Miami, Ohio, and Western Michigan. I lean Western Michigan, but that Miami of Ohio young quarterback, I think he could surprise some people. So that game's probably going to end up being a stay away for me this week. In the NFL, I have added a few bets. I just added Texans +3.5 on Sunday Night Football going to Houston. D'Amico Ryans is in the underdog role. Everything trending upward with that defense. And Kansas City is going to start an offensive line potentially with all their injuries there that I don't think is ready for the task at hand against the best defense in the NFL right now. So I really like that there. I also added Bijan Robinson against Seattle. Over 35.5 receiving yards. It's a big number, but Seattle has been horrible all season long defending running backs catching the ball out of the backfield. And because I think Cousins is going to be under pressure and that secondary covers everyone so deep well, I think he's going to have to throw it short to Bijan, and he'll go over that 35.5 number. The other bet I added was Devin Neal, over 16.5 receiving yards against Tampa Bay. The last couple seasons, the Bucs are the worst team defending running backs catching the ball out of the backfield. New Orleans is going to be trailing as an underdog against Tampa Bay. Tyler Shuck's going to have to throw it to his running back, Neal, to make plays. He's cleared this number in his last two games, and I don't think Kamara is going to end up playing for the Saints. Then some other sides that I like this week in the NFL. We're on Atlanta catching the 7 against Seattle. Raheem Morris and the Falcons 4-0-1 against the spread as an underdog. Bet them as dogs. Fade them as favorites. I love the role for them against Seattle, trying to lay a too big of a number on the road this week. Jacksonville, give me the 2 against Indy. The Colts have struggled in Jacksonville the last decade or so, or the last 10 meetings, I should say. And I think Jacksonville's defense is going to bottle up Jonathan Taylor, which will force Daniel Jones to beat him. And Daniel Jones can't run around in the pocket anymore. And then finally, Cincinnati +5.5 at Buffalo. Bills defense stinks. The offense can't stretch the field with the receivers. And I think that Cincinnati is going to be able to move the ball up and down against them. So that is where we stand with all the bets. They'll be up at VSiN.com/picks later on tonight. Stay with VSiN all day long. We got previews, conference title games, the NFL, college hoops, and NBA. It begins with VSiN by the books at 7 a.m. Eastern, then a numbers game at 10 a.m., and then 1 p.m., the guru John Hansen with prop points. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. We will see you next time.